Plus 49.
Bienvenidos to another episode of Plus 49. My name is Sigrid Arteaga, and as always, we've got some great stories, insights, and conversations from across Germany. In this week's episode, we're going to be talking about the new debates around migration policies, Berlin's official Olympic bid, and the ongoing care worker shortage. We'll catch you up on what's making headlines as well. We will also take a look back at this year's Eurovision Song Contest with all the drama, the sequence, and the surprising results, including how Germany actually didn't got its last place. For our interview, we're heading back to Stuttgart. Well, at least virtually. We're going to be talking to Ashika from I'm Ted. This is a startup developing an AI-powered energy assistant that helps buildings and machines to cut down on wasted electricity by detecting inefficiencies through smart meter data. We'll be hearing about her experiences navigating Germany's startup scene as a founder and as a mother. And also, we're going to be talking about AI itself, but not only from the tech perspective, but also the fears and the myths surrounding it. So grab a coffee, turn up the volume, and let's get into it. Let's take a look at what's making headlines in Germany this week. First up, migration policy already under fire. The German government's latest migration plans are facing criticism, this time from the Internationaler Bund, one of the country's largest social service providers. While the government says the measures will bring more security, critics argue quite the opposite. The IB says pushbacks at the border, cuts to family reunification and scraping fast-track naturalizations will only hurt integration and strain social cohesion. President Petra Merkel warns, Germany still isn't acting like a proper immigration country, and that needs to change. Meanwhile, a nursing exodus from the Philippines is powering Germany's care system. Thousands of Filipino nurses are moving abroad for better pay, including to Germany, where they can earn up to 10 times more. While this helps German hospitals, it leaves critical shortages in clinics back in Manila. The program is supported by the German government, but it's creating ethical concerns around care drain in sending countries. In other news, new stats show Germany's population is more diverse than ever. One in four residents now has a migration background. Most newcomers cite fleeing war or seeking protective as key reasoning for coming here. People with migration backgrounds are, on average, 9 years younger than the rest of the population, a demographic shift with big implications. And last but not least, Berlin wants the Olympics. Again. Mayor Kai Wegner has officially launched Berlin's bid to host the 2036 Summer Olympics. The city promises a people-focused, peaceful games with events potentially held at iconic sites like Tempelhofer Feld and the Brandenburger Gate. The name of the bid? Berlin Plus. More details are expected by autumn 2026. Every May, millions across Europe tune in for one of the continent's most eccentric and beloved tradition, the Eurovision Song Contest. But what actually is Eurovision? Organized by the European Broadcasting Union, the Eurovision Song Contest is the world's longest-running annual international music contest, first held in 1956. Each country submits one original song to be performed live. After two semifinals, the finalists compete for points from professional juries and public televotes, including the iconic Deuce points. Countries like Germany, France, Italy, Spain, and the UK make up the Big Five, major founders who automatically qualify for the final. But Germany, despite its VIP pass, often finds itself, well, near the bottom. With 68 appearances, Germany is the most consistent Eurovision participant. The country has seen two victories, Nicole in 1982 with Ein bisschen Frieden and Lena in 2010 with Satellite. But it has also seen last 9 places, most recently in 2022 and 2023. This year, the 69th Eurovision Song Contest was held in Basel, Switzerland, and brought some big surprises. Austria's JJ won the moody ballad Wasted Love. Germany's act, Abo Antina, with a hyper-pop anthem Bala, landed in the mid-table number 15th place. A small win considering Germany's recent strike of 0 point disasters. And now, a question that comes up every year. Why is Australia in Eurovision? Although not in Europe, Australia has been Eurovision's obsessed since 1974, when the show first aired Down Under. Invited for the contest's 60th anniversary in 2015, Australia now participates regularly, as long as the host country agrees. Eurovision is not just a contest, it is a cultural phenomenon. In Germany, the show draws millions of viewers, watch parties, memes, and a lot of ironic love. For some, it's about the music, for others, the outrageous performances. Think milkmaids, drag queens, CHAs, and wolves. Germany also loves to complain about their own entries, even before the show begins. Very German of them. And although this all might sound a bit unserious, over the years, the contest has launched global stars such as ABBA, Celine Dion, Måneskin, and Loreen. Germany's attempt to recreate those breakout moments, however, often fell flat. That said, hosting duties are taken very seriously. German broadcasters usually send Barbara Schöneberger, a national icon in sequence, to present the German jury points. She becomes a Eurovision meme right away. And despite frequent underperformances, Germany is Eurovision obsessed. From the national selection shows to the satirical commentary during the show, there's a collective ritualism around Eurovision that brings people together across generations. In the end, Germany's relationship with Eurovision is like a long-term marriage, full of ups and downs and a little public embarrassment. And yet, every year, millions of Germans tune in once again, hoping maybe this time they will hear, Germany, 12 points! Hello and welcome to our interview part. Today, tuning in from Stuttgart, we have Ašeka. Ašeka, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for inviting me. So I think it's a great opportunity. This is the first time I am taking part in a podcast, so it's a new experience for me as well.
We're so happy to have you with us. First and foremost, where are you from?
So I am originally from Bangladesh. So I came in Germany 6 years ago. And and now I live in Stuttgart.
How is life in Stuttgart?
Life in Stuttgart, as far as I know, like it's similar in all over Germany, life in Stuttgart. So I think it's not that much special that living in Stuttgart or in Berlin or in Munich. But the special thing is here we have Schwabisch. Like here we call the German live in Stuttgart, they call it Schwabisch, or they have like special Spätzle and a special accent in German. And yes, that is kind of special in Stuttgart. And today we have sunny weather, so it's very good.
And we're freezing in Berlin, but I guess at this point that's normal. Marlene, our dear producer, is in Bayern, and I believe it's quite sunny there, right? No, it's also windy. Oh, okay, well, then you're on the sunny side of Germany, Ašeka.
Now it's shining, but I don't know what will happen like afterwards. So
you never know in this weather. One of my friends says that the relationship we have with Germany is kind of the toxic boyfriend.
Toxic boyfriend. Okay.
And yet we're here and we're having fun and you have your own empire, let's put it that way. So tell us a little bit about it.
So right now I am working as a co-founder at IMTED, AI Energy Assistant. So what we do, we analyze the consumption data of building, non-residential buildings, such as heating, cooling, electricity, and water. And we analyze it and inform the users if there is any anomalous events, such as sensor defects or pipe leakage or any other irregular or malfunctioning equipments, so that the user can take the immediate action and cut the energy and water cost. And in IMTED, so we have another co-founder. His name is Shanewas Chuba. So he is our AI expert. So, and he has a strong mathematics background and also research experience. And my background is, I did my bachelor in chemical engineering. And then I studied water resource engineering and worked as 2 years in the renewable energy sector. And then for 1 year, we are working with our startup IMTED.
We are back with Asheka, and she was just telling us about her own little baby that I'm basically saying it has a label on it for the Sparfuchsen, you know, this very typical German thing where you need to see if what you're buying or if there's anywhere where you can actually get price a little lower. Is it an app? How can I picture this?
So it is an web application. The IMTED is an web application. So it's basically a kind of software. So where you can install it and then can integrate it with the smart meters and then see the result from our software.
As a private person who has rented flat, is it for me possible to have this?
Actually, this is not for the private persons. This is for non-residential buildings like offices or universities, municipalities, or small to medium-sized companies. So why it is not for the private sectors? Because they have only one smart meters and one water. So it's then we have the AI energy assistant and it needs to analyze and it has a cost and it will not be so cost effective at this moment. So that's why it's only for the non-residential buildings and businesses. So like this right now.
How long has it taken for you and your co-partner to create this project?
So so it is not yet finished. So we are always getting feedbacks and improving it, participating in different events. And so it is not yet done. So there is no point that you can say that it is yet done. But we sometimes we also need to say, so there is a limit. So you need to say that, this is complete for now. So we have our minimum viable product. So this will be launched in the last of June. So that is also an exciting part.
I love your name. Such a pretty name. Does it have any specific significance?
So significance, the name Asheka means a lover. So it's actually this is a lover, but it is a religious name. So I am a Muslim and that means Asheka Arafa. This means a good lover of Allah. That is our God, that we say. So that is the significance of my name.
It's a beautiful significance. I love it. Before, you were telling us that this has also to do a lot with AI. And we do have a little bit of this war between loving AI and fearing AI. In your opinion, and considering you come also from the field, And you are now in Germany, where digitalization is not precisely one of the keys or the strongest things in Germans. How have you created, or how do you see the use of AI in Germany in the future? Yes, I'm putting you in the spot for something that can be very Doktorarbeit, so something that you will give for your master's, but we keep hearing this fear for AI. How, for someone who is in this field, how do you see it?
So fear of AI, this is real, I would say. This is obviously real. So the thing is, it's a nuclear bomb is real. We know the power of nuclear. So this is real. And the fear of AI is also real. Thing is, how we are using it, this makes the difference. The thing is, we must need to learn so that we can protect it, we can use it for a positive way. There is a lot more positive way, positive use cases. And also we need to be prepared that what is coming in this negative way, we need to prepare for that so that we can make it out of this. So there are lots of positive use cases of AI in the health sector, in the energy sector, in the education sector. And there's also lots of negative use cases of AI. So I do not want to talk the names, but we know that there are also. So the thing is, we need to be prepared. We need to prepare ourselves, and also we need to take preparation for our next generation also. And so this is what I feel personally.
And you're doing it by example, leading by example, creating an AI that is going to help the reduction, not only of the cost, but of course, by lowering the cost, it also saves energy and it saves water.
Yes, actually, as a person, I do not like wasting things, wasting consumption. So I believe the best way we can do for the environment, for the people, is reducing our consumption, because we do a lot of unnecessary consumption, food waste, or it's energy waste. So I'm not on for it. So the thing is, if we produce energy, and then if we cannot optimize it, so it will get lost. And there is also cost associated with it. And also there is negative environmental impact associated with it. So we need to produce that we are using. So that is our goal, that avoid zero carbon waste in the building. So zero waste in the building. So this is our vision. So we are working for it.
Ashika, while you were talking about consumption and water consumption and how we can create a better place for our future, I cannot help but start thinking of places like Shein, where this mass production is happening, where water is used and overused. Is there a way that, for instance, your product can be implemented in those fast fashion factories or fast products factories, so we can at least find a way to downgrade a little bit the massive amount of water that's being used there?
So actually, our product, our algorithm is developed for reducing the water consumption, energy consumption. So it can be used in the textile industry. So where they are producing different clothes. So it is possible. It is also for them. So it's not actually possible. So it is also for them, so that they can track their water consumption, and also it will suggest them how to reduce it, how to optimize the consumption. So it will help them then to reduce it.
I'm just very impressed that nowadays we are in such need for people like you. Because water is vital, and yet we're still treating water as there was just unlimited. By coming to Germany, have you seen a change in the way that water is treated? I'm saying this as a Latin, where we use water very differently and very in another way as we use it with a little bit more conscience here in Germany. How is your experience?
So when I come to Germany, so here we in the tap water, we always get like clean water. So in Bangladesh, so we definitely, there is not that much availability of clean water. So we have lots of water sources. So when I came to Germany, so I think people are more conscious about water consumption, about the environment than Bangladesh, than my country. So it's a really positive that I have seen.
And you're also a mother, so you're also thinking about the future for your kid.
Yes, of course.
How it's been for you, you were already telling us this before we went into online on air. How is life with you as a mom and also as an entrepreneur?
It's a very good question, like as a mom and as an entrepreneur. So I also want to tell you that I have studied, that I already told you, I have studied at the University of Stuttgart in water resource. And that time my kid was 1 year old. And then I have learned how to manage kid and how to manage study. And parallel to my study, I also worked as intern and also then afterwards as research engineer. So this is a process. I have learned the time management. I have learned how to manage the tasks. So now as an entrepreneur, so that the pressure is ongoing. So I am accepting it and I am learning it. The thing is, how I manage everything right now. So I do not take any pressure. So if I cannot complete any tasks, so this is not in my limit. I have tried and then I accept it. And so I do not think that I always need to win, win, win. So I just keep going. And this is win for me. Every fourth step I take, this is a win for me. I don't think that, okay, this is the, I need to win this competition or this event, or I need to follow this up. Yes, sometimes I cannot cope, I cannot adapt myself. But I, as a person, I think every footstep I am taking, this is a positive way. I have tasks to do. I have kids. So this is also a precious thing as a mother. This is a blessing. So this is how is it? Do not, to all the entrepreneurs, I will suggest that do not take things so serious. So you are doing great. And you do not need to win everything. So you are winning every day.
Ashika, this was one of the most inspiring interviews we have had. Just because one thing you're saying, we're always thinking we have to win all the time. Every day, just doing something. And then on the other side is, you came to Germany. You initiated this migration process that it's not easy. You started a very demanding a career, you had a kid, and you were doing an apprenticeship in between. Just wow, it's really remarkable what you have done, and I really, really hope that I wish you and the company all the success in the world, as well as for your kid. People like you are the ones that are needed in this country and must be more appreciated for everything they are doing. And I can just say thank you so much for this time and for showing us in your own way that we can do it all as long as we're just taking things also slow.
Yes, if it doesn't work, just take it slow. This is only one life. We have it and we need to use it. That's it.
Ashika, we will definitely be super happy to know what's going to be next for you, and let us know once June happens and what's the next stage for you.
Yes, thank you so much, Sigrid and Marlin, for today's event. So in the next June, I don't know, the people that is hearing today maybe can connect us, connect me with LinkedIn and ask if they want to implement our solution to see the real impact, not us. We are very much open for it, and we want the feedback and also want to hear from the others what problems they are facing in the energy and water sector.
Thank you so much once again for being today with us, and we wish you all of the best.
Thank you.
Plus 49, Ask a German.
So you want to ask the German, so why there is not that much party vibe in Christmas time? Actually, I live in Bangladesh, so we have Eid. You know, this is our festival, Muslim festival, so Eid. And there are a lot of kids outside. So you can just stand and then you can just watch the kids outside playing cheerful. And then when I came to Germany, I always want to see the kids' faces and kids with lovely dresses. They're playing outside Germany, but there is nobody in the street. Nobody. You can just see nobody. So I want to ask the German, why is that?
If you're used to loud music, bright colors, and lively gatherings during holidays like Eid, German Christmas might feel a bit quiet. And that's not by accident. It's actually kind of the point. Christmas in Germany is traditionally what Germans call besinnlich, a word that doesn't translate easily, but roughly means reflective or contemplative. It's a time to slow down, spend time with close family, light candles, and maybe listen to a bit of Bach or some mellow carols. Rather than big parties, many people focus on cozy rituals, like baking cookies, visiting Christmas markets, lighting advent candles, or taking snowy walks, if you're lucky. On Christmas Eve, most families gather for a quiet dinner and the exchange of gifts, and even that usually stays pretty low-key. This doesn't mean Germans don't know how to party. New Year's Eve, or Silvester, is a different story entirely, complete with fireworks and dancing into the night. But Christmas is framed more as a time for peace and inner calm. The religious roots of the holiday, basically the idea of waiting for light in darkness, of hope and introspection, still shapes the mood, even for secular families. As for kids not playing outside in big groups or dressing up in bright colors, well, part of that is the weather. December in Germany is cold, dark, and often rainy or snowy. Most families retreat indoors, and kids' social lives shift towards school and home activities. That said, in places like schools and kindergartens, you'll still see festive songs, crafts, and even little plays. Just not the same public street celebrations you might see during Eid. So while German Christmas may seem quiet or even a little somber to some, for many locals, that's exactly what they cherish about it. A pause in a year that feels calm, warm, and intentionally slow.
That's it for this week's episode of Plus 49. A big thank you to Asheka from IMTAF for sharing her stories, her insights, and her perspective on how AI can do more good than harm, especially when it comes to energy and the environment. And also a big thank you to our producer Marlene. Whether you're still humming your vision tunes or just trying to keep up with Germany's ever-evolving news cycle, we hope today's stories give you something to think about. We'll be back next week with more expat voices and local insights. Until then, take care, stay curious, and enjoy the sunshine if you can find it. Hasta la próxima.